Membership fees apply after free trial. Cancel any time.
Okay, so why do people love my Total Body Bar workouts? Because they work. My clients get an amazing workout and great results. I'm Andrea Rogers, professional dancer and trainer, and my Extend Bar classes are fun, only 30 minutes, and proven to help you get sculpted, lean, and strong. And right now, you can stream my Extend Bar classes for free on the Beachbody On Demand app. See how effective these workouts truly are. Start for free today at Beachbody.com.
Welcome to the Bad Movie Night Podcast, covering the worst movies you've never seen. Go to our website, badmovienightpodcast.com, to watch our show and to listen to other episodes of our podcast. We hope you enjoy listening to Bad Movie Night.
Hey everybody, and welcome back to the Bad Movie Night Podcast. My name is Chris, and I'm going to be your host tonight as we talk about the 1995 sci-fi action movie Nemesis 2 Nebula. Tonight I'm joined by Aaron, AJ, and Todd. How are you guys doing?
Fantastic.
We're doing all right.
This movie was a pile of shit. I'll tell you what I think about it.
Well, I'll save it. Just relax. I gotta read the plot from IMDb, and then you can tell me how big of a piece of shit it is.
Okay.
A genetically altered female is transported back in time in an effort to protect her from killer cyborgs. Todd, what'd you think of Nemesis 2? Nebula / Predator / Man-Ass.
I mean, when it started...
What was that last bit there?
I mean, when it started, I just thought it was going to be a bad movie. It's got all the right pieces. It's got... starts in the future, goes back to a shitty setting. Like, it's got all the right pieces for a bad movie, but it was, like, too bad. The movie was too bad. The doctor said, I'm in too good a shape, Lois.
Is that your rapper name, Todd? Too bad?
Too bad.
Aaron, what'd you think? You really need to think about this one?
No.
He's still thinking on it.
I was waiting for that to come up. Man, if you like movies with little muscular dudes running, this is the movie for you.
Little muscular dudes?
Yeah.
How dare you, sir?
All right, they were big muscles, but, you know, in a small stature.
AJ, what'd you think?
This was really bad. That's all I'm going to say about it. It was just bad. Done. Cue credits.
I mean, we all... Todd, you didn't see it, but we all were fans of the original Nemesis, right?
Yes.
Yeah, absolutely.
So, I mean, I didn't set my expectations very high, but I was expecting some Albert Pion fun. Because most of his movies, while, you know, not really made that well, are generally pretty fun. And this was just so disappointing in so many different ways.
Yep, pretty much.
It didn't feel anything like the original to me.
Well, it did in the first 5 minutes when they showed images
from
the first movie.
That was the best 5 minutes of the movie.
Exactly. That was the very unfortunate thing about this movie. The first 5 minutes, you're in the future. You have these cool matte paintings. You have these scenes of a futuristic wasteland and everything where cyborgs are... You know, it's a Terminator ripoff, obviously, but... It was cool. And they immediately cut that shit. They're like, oh, these people are having too much fun. Cut this shit. Send it back to the desert. And that's exactly what they do. Within 5 minutes, you're sent back to the most boring visuals ever in a bad movie. The wasteland.
Would you really have minded that, though, if the movie panned out? Like, the setting was not the worst part for me. That's what I say. It started out okay. It started out like they could set up a sweet bad movie from this point forward, and then it just failed in every aspect. Like, the props were shit, the weapons were shit, the acting was shit, the sound was shit. I couldn't even hear anything, like any dialogue.
That was on purpose.
I mean, basically, this is like a Terminator Predator ripoff. It's the story of sending back a girl to the past, and they send a futuristic cyborg back to kill her. Okay.
Yes.
And the futuristic cyborg is more like a Predator than a Terminator. But that's the plot of the movie. I have a few questions, though, about this.
Just a few? Okay.
Well, my main problem with this movie is the cyborg comes from 100 years in the future where the world is being run by cyborgs, right?
Yes.
Sure.
Why bother sending a cyborg back 100 years into the past to kill a lady when clearly she failed because where he's from, cyborgs rule?
Because she has mutant DNA, and due to evolution, the humans are starting to uprise against the cyborgs 100 years in the future. See, I just pulled that shit out of my ass, and it sounds good, doesn't it?
It does sound good, but they don't say that in the movie.
No, I actually have the factual answer here, and Aaron's not that far off.
Good.
Oh, yeah?
Rebel scientists have developed a new DNA strain which could signal the end of the cyborgs. It's injected into a pregnant volunteer.
Man.
That pregnant volunteer is Alex, the mother, who failed. They injected it in her, and she fled back in time with the child. That's why they sent a cyborg back to kill the child.
I get that. However,
okay,
he, though, is from 100 years in the future from when she was sent back in the past. Therefore,
yes,
where he is currently from, the effect of her being sent back in the past changed nothing. The future is still a cyborg paradise. So
no,
why bother coming
no,
back
listen,
100 years?
Listen again.
No, I listened. I listened great.
You didn't. You clearly didn't, because it's in the future. 100
Guys.
Years in the future. That is when this mutant DNA will signal the downfall.
You're missing all the aspects. All that happened is Albert Pyong saw Terminator, and he liked the idea of going back in time, and he just rolled the dice, and that's what came out. There's no
Huey
other
Lewis
thought
came
to
on
it.
The radio.
There's no other thoughts to this. It's
no,
just,
there
it's
is a
nonsense.
Lot of thoughts. Nah, you're just missing it. I think Todd. I think you might be right, Todd.
You're missing.
No, all I'm saying. All...
She is sent back to 1980. The mom
no, she's
is
not.
With the
she's
baby.
She's not. She flees
yes.
back.
Yes,
to
sorry. Flees back from...
And not only 1980, but 1980 Africa.
Yes, East Africa.
Very interesting place to land in 1980. What was the reasoning for that, guys?
There was a civil war going on in there. I believe that was probably part of it.
I think the main part of it was... they had a desert set.
Yes. It's called East Africa, Arizona. That's where they filmed.
Well, we have a desert set. Where are there deserts? I think Africa. Okay.
I mean, yeah.
So
but
stupid.
The movie opens in 2077. We're shown the mother. We're shown the daughter. It's a little baby. This was cool, though. There was a sequence with the mom running through, like, this apocalyptic wasteland thing. There's these two cyborgs chasing her that look like twins. It was awesome.
Yeah, she was running with that baby like it was a football.
She gets into this, like, cube-like spaceship thing, and then is immediately sent back in time. But. She has a Desert Eagle. She's from 2077. She has a Desert Eagle from 1995.
Well, she's into the vintage, can't you tell?
Vintage things.
I mean, it doesn't even shoot lasers or anything.
No,
it's just a regular Desert Eagle.
Antique,
but this is you know, well into the period of the cyborgs taking control of the planet, basically, right? So maybe that's all they could find. That's all they have left. Is,
well, maybe they
know.
Thought that'd be period correct for the '80s since they were traveling back in time.
Maybe, but okay. So this bounty hunter that comes back into the past as well. He's not outfitted with any cool futuristic technology. Like, he has some Predator-esque camouflage thing, although it's fucking terrible. I could spot him anywhere, especially in a desert where there's nowhere to hide.
Yeah, it is pretty bad.
And then the only other weapon he has is that, like, laser beam thing that shoots explosions.
Yeah, you know my whole problem with that laser beam that shoots explosions? Every time he uses it, it can never lock on to her. Is that because of the DNA?
It's because of the geology.
That's right, the geology. I forgot about
that. Watch
out
for that East African geology.
What was the error message on the screen? Too much geology?
Something like that.
Something like cannot compute.
Dude, these error messages were absolutely They were totally unrealistic.
Completely ridiculous.
If I was a robot, I would have said something like, scanning water, see, or scanning river, no traces found. But instead,
problem,
this robot's
man.
Like, could not find any traces of anything in water. It was speaking way too much like English.
I kind of enjoyed that part, actually, because it was really bad. It was sort of funny. My big thing is, I enjoyed the first movie, but how does this relate to that at all?
I know.
Well, it does
Albert
open...
Albert Pyong's the only thing that relates.
Now, at the intro, there is a line, the very first line in the movie, in text, it says, Alex Rain tried to stop the cyborgs. He failed.
He was a cyborg.
Listen.
This movie hurts itself.
I think this movie has more in common with Forrest Gump, because it's just some dude running all the time.
Oh, yeah. I mean, that's pretty much what there's very little plot to this movie. It's mostly just a chase sequence, which could be cool, but it's not. So the mom gets sent back with the baby. Right as she's hiding the baby in a bush, she says, you have powers, Alex. Nebula will come for you, but this necklace will explain everything.
Yeah, how did the necklace explain everything?
That's what I was going to ask. Did the necklace ever show up in the movie after that?
She was wearing it, wasn't she?
She was wearing
when
it.
When she did that sweet backflip and shot the guy in the head, it gave a little view of the necklace, but that's it.
Maybe it's for the third or fourth or fifth.
Yeah, maybe it does get pulled into the story at some point. So the bounty hunter is Nebula, or is Nebula just the name of the cyborg racer?
Nebula is the name of the actual unit that got sent back.
That doesn't make any sense then, does it?
Why?
Because how would she know that Nebula is going to come back?
Is he like the main leader one, maybe?
I don't know. That's what I mean. I don't know what Nebula is, and it's in the title of the damn movie, and it never comes up except for that one little passed off line.
This movie was garbage.
Nah, well, you can't be so dismissive.
Well, how can
dismiss everything.
We not? How can we
welcome
not
to our podcast.
I'm looking for theories. I'm looking for discussion, not just movie's garbage. Because I know it's garbage, all right? I fucking know it's garbage.
You sure? Because you're digging here.
I like this. This is a good spinoff of the podcast. We need like AJ's 15-second bad movie podcast. It's garbage. Don't watch it. This week we watched. It's garbage. Don't watch it. You're just going to... fucking do that.
Well,
every time.
Okay, so if she has powers, what are her powers though? I understand she has muscles. She's got the muscles.
Well, she does have some
power.
She has some pretty crazy like flips and moves that she pulls off. She can like jump in the air and do a backflip and spin and then shoot a gun and then somehow land in a jump cut facing the other direction. I like those are special powers right there.
She's got several skills. Parkour skills.
Jump cut skills.
Shooting skills.
So you're just saying she's like a bit more evolved of a human, and it's because of that is able to do more athletic things.
Yeah,
it must be the new DNA strain that she
got. That's true.
And the info I'm referencing here does seem to indicate that Nebula was like a notorious bounty hunter. So yes, Nebula was a cyborg, but she probably knew that Nebula was coming because Nebula is not just a cyborg. He's sort of like the cyborg if you need shit done, you know what I'm saying?
So he's like the Alex Rain from the first movie of cyborgs?
He's like the Boba Fett of Star
Pretty much
Wars.
like Boba Fett. He's the Boba Fett of cyborgs.
That makes sense.
Why didn't he just go back 120 years to when she was a baby and kill her then? This is the whole thing wrong with Terminator as well.
But he did.
No, he went back till she was a full-grown woman.
Mm-hmm. No, he said he was looking
true.
For her for 20 years.
Right. Yeah.
He said he was looking for her for 20 years. So he did go back. He just never found
her. Okay.
Really?
Yeah, because originally, when he went back to 1980, she got killed by the mercenary. She didn't get killed by the cyborg.
Mm. Yeah, the mom. Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, for fuck's sake.
Interesting. Interesting.
So essentially, this girl is then raised by this tribe. And she has to prove herself by, like, killing a
I'll give
a
you a
boar.
Dollar if you remember the name of the tribe.
I don't know. I don't know. What's the name of the tribe?
Yep, there's your dollar. It's gone.
The tribe was pretty good, though. I enjoyed the tribe at the beginning. I thought it was still having fun. I was still having fun when that was going on.
You were having fun?
Was it a tribe called Quest?
I mean, that whole battle scene, as bad as it was with the tribe and like her having to prove herself, was still very entertained at that point and on board for the movie.
It was the Kutu tribe.
Okay.
They speak a Bantu language of the Morogoro region of Tanzania, just in case you would like to know.
Is that a legit tribe, or you got that from the movie?
That is a legit tribe and a legit language.
I mean, Tanzania is in East Africa.
There you go.
So that must be where this movie takes place.
Freaking nailed it.
So the Predator shows up, kills the entire village, and begins chasing her until the very end of the movie. It literally slows down once, maybe, between 15 minutes into the movie until the very end. She does take a little break to search the old ship that she came in and finds a futuristic knife that has like a laser pointer on it or something, and then it like turns red and she throws it. But beyond that, I'm not really sure what it does.
Well, so I gotta ask, what did you think that was? Because what I thought it was like an auto targeter. Whatever she hit with the laser, then when she let go, the thing glowed and she just tossed it and it would land on whatever she hit.
Yeah, that's pretty much what I thought too, that it was like homing missile kind of deal.
Sure, why not?
What's propelling it?
Future power, futuristic stuff.
Gravity.
Gravity.
I think her throwing it mainly.
And then how does it home in?
Physics.
Science, Aaron. It's all science.
You wouldn't understand.
It's very technical.
You have to be a scientist to understand it. Yeah. We are not scientists.
You know one thing I did appreciate about this movie, though? The guy who wrote the music must have been like... He like wrote like a 25-minute long opus or something, because the music never let down and it just was pounding the whole time. There was so much stuff going on. Like, it was just... If you think about an action sequence in a movie, like a normal movie, where the music like builds and it gets very intense and stuff, that's what this did, but it literally went on for 45 minutes.
Yeah, but it didn't always fit. There are a lot of times where the music was really tense and you're like, why? Yeah. They're just having a conversation.
She's like putting pants on. It was so intense.
Why was she... We didn't have to see any of that stuff either. That was too much. That was too much for me.
Yeah, so... What, Todd, why don't you describe the main character of the movie, Alex?
I think Alex looks like a bodybuilder in real life. It's very awkward, by the way, because as the movie was going on, they were finding every opportunity for her to flex something. So it was like she caught onto the edge of a rail and it's like she's going to do a perfect pull-up right now. And, oh, I got to put some pants on. And she's like flexing her legs all weird.
There's lots of ass shots. Yeah. So,
I mean, she was a bodybuilder in real life. That's true, right?
I felt very uncomfortable watching her on screen the whole time.
That's because it's not like it didn't look like a natural body. Like, I can see, like, young Arnold and stuff looked more just ripped, right? But she looked so beyond that it just was awkward looking.
It was awkward. It was a little bit much. And I have nothing against women bodybuilders or anything like that, but man, if you're going to make a movie like this and cast someone like this in your movie, you got to think about it. You know, you can't just, like, throw whoever you want on the screen and expect it to work.
Well, when you're not offering any money, you might have to do exactly that.
What do you think their relationship is? I mean, it must be a good one because he casted her in the next few movies, right?
I think he planned on doing a sequel immediately following this one, or possibly shooting at the same time, so had to sign her on for both movies. And then just thought, well, fuck it, we already worked for these two movies, let's get you in on the next one. Which is extremely disappointing, because she's not charismatic or interesting at all.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. That's what I mean. Like, I could overlook certain things if there was some reason for it. But it just didn't make any sense to me. Like, I just don't get it. I don't know what's going on with this movie.
It wasn't...
I'm so confused.
She didn't look... When she ran and did anything, it looked so awkward because her, like, whatever this part is between your shoulder and your neck is not naturally supposed to be that large.
They're called muscles, Chris.
I don't have any of those, but if I had some, maybe I'd understand. But
and maybe she like, she, why would you cast her? I mean, is it because she would have some kind of, like, athletic skills for the fight sequences?
Nah, he just wanted somebody who would look badass and had a lot of muscles. And that because his whole point was that she's supposed to be an evolved human being, so I guess she would have a lot of muscles. But it was taken to such an extreme that it was kind of a joke.
Yeah, I think that was the more the point is the whole DNA thing. The whole I forget what they even called it now, but you know what I'm saying. The new DNA strain.
So the Predator does catch up with some of these people, and in the one scene made no sense. It like drains the blood from somebody. Did they explain that? Yeah. I don't know if it was like powering
the first guy, right?
Here we go again. This reminds me of the movie Knights by Albert Pyong, in which the cyborgs drain the blood of humans to power themselves.
Yeah.
It also features a female lead.
Oh my god, they should have had her from Knights. She was awesome. Because she could really fight and was like looked really great in the action sequences.
Probably would have been way too expensive.
So, what happens? Somebody else talk for a little bit. Tell me about the plot. What's going on? Predator shows up.
She's basically thrust in the middle of a battle what we thought would be a battle between the Americans and these rebels. But those two aren't really attacking each other. They're all just attacking her.
Yeah.
It makes no sense at all. What?
I feel like there was a civil war. There's a civil war between some form of tribes people and some form of mercenary.
I want to say mercenary, but
the mercenaries weren't the mercenaries weren't the Americans, though. I'm saying the tribes people and the mercenaries in red. I think that was the civil war.
Yeah, I believe that. Okay, that makes sense.
But then
sense.
I think there were at least one faction of soldiers that were involved who I don't know if they were even American. But at the end, it was totally Americans who came and picked her up at the end.
Yeah, it was very confusing. And it was kind of irrelevant to the plot. Although, what is the plot? What is her purpose? She just kind of wanders around in this movie. What is her goal?
To run away?
A runaway.
Survive? But why did the Americans pick her up at the end? Did they know she had special powers?
Don't know.
I mean, throughout the movie, they were trying to kill her, except for Sergeant Penis Butt or whatever AJ called him. Private Dick Pants? What the hell did you call him?
Private Dingleberry or something.
Private
like
Dingleberry.
That. You know what that guy reminded me of? Like Pauly Shore from like Biodome or something like that. Like a stoner that like randomly showed up on set and they used him.
Like, hey, you've got a headband. Get in here.
Yeah, there was some cool action sequences in this movie, though.
Yeah, there was some, and then there were some that were just, like, made no sense, like, and were unnecessary. Like, they were running alongside the building in a number of scenes, like the mining set, we'll just call it, because that's basically what it was, a giant mining set. And the buildings, the nebula would be firing at them, and clearly they're just explosives set inside the building, blowing up outside the windows and, like, anytime you saw an explosion, it was like set inside a building to blow. It was just, it made no sense. It wasn't even near where the actors are.
It's just like an Albert Pyun thing. He has to get as many explosions on screen as he can.
At least they look cool. They were real explosions.
They were real explosions, yeah.
Yeah, they were. And there were some, you know what I noticed too? I think earlier in the movie, when she was running from the nebula, the explosions were excellent and they were right on point. Like very early. And I thought, man, this is going to be awesome. And the more the movie progressed, the worse it got. The worse that happened. It was just like, they just like stopped caring.
I really did like the sequence though, where they're up in a tower and she has a mercenary like subdued and she like falls out of the tower with the mercenary.
Yeah, Private Dingleberry.
Okay, and the cyborg falls too and they're having like the slow motion
that was cool.
Gunfight while they're falling.
That was like Albert Pyong.
That was
good
classic
stuff.
Yes, classic, yeah. Albert Pyong. That was like straight out of the original Nemesis.
Yeah.
And that was what I came for, guys.
But you only got one scene of that.
Pretty much.
The whole movie.
Who was the other mainish character, the other lady that tries to fly away in the helicopter? We should probably talk about her.
Emily?
Right, so there's this other character, Emily, who we think is a hostage of the rebels at one point. But then it seems like she was actually on their side. She was trying to steal gold.
Sure. It was unclear because it seemed like maybe she was just giving in, but was really not. I'm not sure what her story was.
I think that was just bad acting. I really don't think she wanted that little interaction that was happening there. I think originally she was playing along. so that that guy would let her go. Like, oh, I have some gold and yada yada. She wanted to trick him. She wanted him to follow
yeah,
her.
Yeah, I believe that
but
too.
That other part where he started getting all friendly, that was, I don't think she wanted that. I think she was trying to play along.
Stay alive.
Like, yeah, exactly. Stay alive type thing.
Well, yeah, she basically double crosses Alex because they're working together to get away from Nebula. And then she says, it's all mine, the gold, or whatever the hell's on this little tiny plane, and holds a gun up to Alex or something and basically takes off in this little tiny aircraft.
Yeah, but then she
aircraft.
Hangs around. Why does she hang around?
Circling the buildings.
Why? I thought she was going to help at that point.
Yeah.
And they make it seem like Alex cares about this woman. Like, she keeps, there's all these shots of, like, Alex, like, looking up into the sky, like, oh, why did you leave me? Like, what?
That part was definitely confusing. I think her character was legit a treasure hunter, though. I think that's why she was there. I think that's why she got caught. I think there actually was gold, in other words. I don't think that part was a lie.
Yeah, but okay, but regardless of this gold and this plane and everything, if you took this character out of the movie, it would change absolutely nothing. Like, she didn't serve any purpose
that's
of the
plot. Yeah, I agree with that.
Nothing. Totally. That's because there is no plot. You can interchange anything in this movie and it won't matter. Because there's no story.
Pretty much. There is zero story. I don't even know what to say. They get in a fight. Alex stabs this Nebula in the chest, which causes a system crash, but it's going to happen in 15 minutes.
Can we talk about when she does that? They slow down the camera to like frame by frame. And it was like, I was getting sick watching that.
It was like 3 frames per second. I was starting to feel ill too. It was really bad.
Yep, and you know how, like, if you're an older brother or sister and you go to your little brother or sister and grab their hand and make them punch themselves in the face?
Never done that before?
Fuck you. Well, that's how Alex beats the cyborg, by making it punch its own fist into its face.
Stop punching yourself. Stop punching yourself, Nebula.
Do you think they just made that up? As they were filming?
Hell yeah, they made that shit up. It's terrible.
That wasn't in the script.
I don't understand.
Was
I don't
there
understand
a script?
Why it killed. I don't understand why it killed the cyborg. They made it a point to show how she got, like, cut one of its fingers off or something, and there was all this electricity going around the entire time. But I don't know how the two were connected, because all of a sudden she's like, oh man, his finger's off. Wham, punch yourself up, he's dead.
It didn't make any sense.
Like, what was inside of him?
Well, the milk.
Freaking
the
milk. Molten lava or some
milk
shit.
Poured out when
she toggles the switches and the milk comes out.
Oh,
yeah.
That's right.
The
monkey
milk.
She toggled the milk
switch. That was the death blow right there.
I would love to see the screenplay for this.
Oh, my God.
I bet
God.
It's like 2 pages long. I'm
really not sure if there is one.
I think we've spent more time discussing it than they did writing it.
Certainly did. Like, I read that plot synopsis, and I'll read it again. A genetically altered female is transported back in time in an effort to protect her from a killer cyborg. And that's it, though. Like, I guess you could say the same thing about Terminator. You could probably sum it up in a line like that. But I feel like Terminator actually goes places in a story, and there's an arc for the characters. But in this, there's nothing. Like, this lady, she's supposed to be this, I don't know what you want to call her, but she's special, you know? She's supposed to save humanity in the future, somehow. But she goes through no arc in her story at all. She learns nothing. She doesn't become anything. All she does is run away from a cyborg and accidentally make itself punch it in the face and fucking die.
Yep.
I feel like I missed a lot. Maybe it's because all the dialogue was just
there was a lot of men, mostly men, wearing thongs, and the one guy doing a lot of rolls and jumping around in slow motion that you could almost see
taint.
Tainto
vision. Oh, that was terrible.
And yeah, that was about it. There was a stinger at the end of the movie. She gets picked up by the Americans. She somehow passes out, and as they're driving down this desert road, you see some sort of red blob thing go after the car, and then it says next Nemesis 3 time lapse.
I think 2 and 3 were shot at the same time, right?
Same year release, so I assume
they just
were.
Continued shooting them and divided it into 2 movies.
He just said, wait, this is pretty good. Let's keep it rolling. He just kept the camera
going. Man, I hope to God they got out of the desert.
Nope. You know why they don't get out of the desert? Because it's fucking cheap. That's why I was reading an interview with Albert Pion, and he specifically said the reason he does post-apocalyptic movies is because they can shoot in like ruined and demolished locations.
Oh man! Because do you know where they shot this one?
I do not.
It looked like Pittsburgh or something.
No, it was Arizona, I think.
Oh really?
Yeah, pretty sure.
I made that joke earlier. So don't quote me on that. Unless it actually is Arizona, then quote me on that.
Yeah, this is a boring movie. It's boring. It's got a million explosions. It's basically one long action sequence, and somehow it's still so boring.
I can't believe this. And he did this after Knights, like a couple movies after. Like, Knights was much better than this.
Yeah.
Here's the problem. This was originally... His original plan was that parts 3 and 4, or 2, 3, and 4 of the Nemesis series was just supposed to be one movie. Instead, it got split into 3 different movies. So I'm guessing if you took parts 3 and 4 and added them to this and compressed it all down into one hour and a half long movie, it would be a lot more entertaining, because I'm guessing the story actually goes places and moves along.
Maybe.
But yeah, I'd agree.
I don't this know was if just, I'm going to be able to watch 3 and 4.
This was just filler the movie.
All right. Per Wikipedia, this was shot in Globe, Arizona.
Oh, there you go. Man.
So there is actually a compilation version somewhere out there that takes all 4 Nemesis movies and makes it into one 100-minute long movie.
All right.
That would
be
cool.
That's what we should watch. We should say forget 3 and 4 and just watch that.
We'd have
or
to
watch
find
3
it.
And 4 then watch that.
Oh, I can't. I'll see you guys for the 100-minute one.
So Sue Price, this was her acting debut. She plays Alex, and the only other movies she's been in are Nemesis 3 and 4. She's an American bodybuilder.
So she had an illustrious career.
Illustrious career. Nebula is played by Chad Stahelski. He is in a suit the whole time, so you never see his face or whatever. I guess he's supposed to be a cyborg, not just a person in a suit.
What kind of stupid question is that? The whole thing is about cyborgs.
But when he spoke, it sounded like a person talking. Like,
yeah, that was good, though.
Sorry.
Yeah, that was good. I like that, because it wasn't like that other movie we saw where it was like, I'm underwater.
Isn't this your whole thing, Chris? You're the one who quibbles over the difference between cyborgs and androids.
Yes, Chris.
He should be
this.
A person if he's a cyborg.
Explain this, cyborg.
Look, you know my thoughts on cyborgs. Cyborgs, to me, are a combination of organic material and robotic material.
Yes, so it should make sense
that
he's a person.
RoboCop is a cyborg. He's part human, part robot.
Is this thing part human?
I think it is, from the description of the movie. However, within the movie, it's hard to tell. They make it seem like he's more of just a robot.
He looked more like an insect or something.
The suit was very insect-like. It looked like a fly.
Yeah.
Do you think it could have been part insect, part cyborg, part human? Kind of like
from
a Jeff
future,
Goldblum
man.
Kind
he's
of thing?
From the future. We don't. We will never know.
That's the fly, part 4.
Maybe that's what his that white stuff coming out of him was. It was like fly juice or something.
Fly
like
juice.
That
makes
fly
sense.
Fly juice.
Perfect sense. So, but the guy who did play Nebula, Chad Stahelski, he did stunt work in 300, The Matrix, V for Vendetta, Hunger Games. He is also the director of John Wick 1 and 2.
What?
Holy
man.
Shit.
What? Yeah.
No.
So at least somebody from this movie had an illustrious career.
Yeah. Emily is played by Tina Coate. She went on to do some other Albert Pion stuff like Omega Doom, Mean Guns, Heat Seeker, and she's a small part in Barbed Wire with Pamela Anderson.
More like,
movies, Movies directed by Albert Pion, Cyborg, Arcade, Nemesis, Omega Doom, Sword and Sorcerer, and the list goes on and on and on. Written by Albert Pion, and partial credit to Rebecca Charles, who wrote the first Nemesis.
Others, too.
No, Albert Pion wrote the rest.
I'm
She's
starting
just
to think
credited
that...
because she created the characters in the first.
I think she's just an alias for Albert Pion.
<Could be. laughs>
Probably. Help sell the movie. I'll add another writing credit on here.
He collects royalties for the writing credits.
that's how you do it.
He's like, all right, we're eating this week, kids. Rebecca's raking in the dough.
Need some extra social security numbers.
Jesus.
can we watch something next week that doesn't take place in a desert?
So hard to tell.
I actually got this really good Mad Max movie lined up.
No! No more deserts for at least a week.
This was a different kind of desert movie, though. It wasn't like Mad Max. It wasn't a thirsty wasteland. Well,
this was a cyborg desert movie. Now we need a thirsty wasteland.
I was thirsty
movie.
Watching this movie.
A little bit thirsty.
Thirsty for plot?
Yeah, really. Music was by Anthony Reparati, who did Mean Guns, Postmortem, and Brain Smasher, A Love Story. Music was... forgettable. Intensely forgettable.
Wow. I want that on my tombstone.
Consider it done. Oh, Aaron, would you recommend Nemesis 2? Nebularizer.
I was super excited to watch this because I ended up watching the first one two or three times because it was really fun, even though it was terrible. I am so disappointed in this. I mean, honestly, it's just so bad. There's nothing redeeming about it at all. Nothing at all. I can't recommend it.
AJ?
Sorry.
That's okay. You don't have to apologize. AJ?
Yeah, I'm gonna say pass on this. I really just do not want to talk about it anymore. It was that horrible.
Todd?
Cannot recommend. I thought it happened. Don't let it fool you. Like, if you go to watch it, first couple minutes, don't let it fool you. It is just a shit show from then on out.
Shit show. Yep. Not going to recommend it. Not going to do it. Not going to do it. So disappointing, guys. So disappointing. You heard me before we started this. I was so excited for this.
Yeah,
I wanted to know how the Nemesis storyline continued, because the first one ends on a cliffhanger. The character was cool in the first one. I don't know why they didn't carry on from that story. Instead, he like rebooted this whole franchise, and I have no idea where it's going to go, and I'm not really interested to see it.
Nope.
If there's one thing that I thought I knew, it was that while Albert Pion movies are generally ridiculous and bad, they're usually super fun. This was just super boring.
They're going to have to get J.J. Abrams to reboot this again. Save it.
Yep.
Just take all the good things and put them in one movie.
Nemesis Awakens. The Nemesis Awakens.
And there was such a good setup at the end of the first one for a sequel.
I know.
Man, I know. God damn it.
Albert, what were you
so
thinking?
Good.
All right. Next week, we're going to check out another Albert Pion movie. Hopefully, he redeems himself. We're going Sword and Sorcerer.
Yeah!
1982.
It'll be good. It couldn't be any worse than this.
Dude, look at
that
cover art. It looks amazing.
Don't be fooled by the cover art, Aaron. Never fall for that trick. God damn it.
What? Cover art looks amazing.
When will we ever learn?
All right, well, go to our website, badmovienightpodcast.com. You can check out older episodes of the podcast and the video show. We have a new episode of the video show dropping on Iced.
Nice. Hey, you guys are adding some new stuff too, aren't you?
New stuff.
Yeah, you got some short clips or short reviews up.
There's all kinds of cool stuff.
We
going
also
on.
Check dropping out some new stuff on our YouTube page, like good movie reviews or what we think are at least entertaining movies that don't really fit this niche of B movie crap. But check that out at our YouTube page. You can get there from badmovienightpodcast.com. And we'll catch you next week.
Later.
Thanks for listening to the Bad Movie Night Podcast. If you have any questions or recommendations, send us an email at info@badmovienightpodcast.com. Thanks for listening.
And now another no-brainer money-saving tip from Progressive.
Marcus, what happened?
I was changing my oil and I spilled some on the floor.
Oh, well, use these $50 bills to wipe it up.
Perfect. Got any more?
Yeah, take a couple hundred.
Stop. Instead of using money, use an old rag. And here's a better tip from Progressive on how not to waste money. Don't pay too much for car insurance. Drivers who switch and save could save hundreds. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Potential savings will vary.